Now, of course, we've not just got the Girls Brigade here. I know the boys are here as well. And they are here on the big screen with today's reading from the Boys Brigade.
Then the Lord said to Elijah, "Now go to the town of Zarephath near Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow who lives there to feed you." So Elijah went to Zarephath, and as he came to the gate of the town, he saw a widow gathering firewood. "Please bring me a drink of water," he said to her. And as she was going to get it, he called out, "And please bring me some bread too." She answered, "By the living Lord your God, I swear that I haven't got any bread. All I have is a handful of flour in a bowl and a drop of olive in a jar. I came to gather some firewood to take back home and prepare what little I have for my son and me. That will be our last meal, then we will starve to death." "Don't worry," Elijah said to her. "Go ahead and prepare your meal, but first make a small loaf from what you have and bring it to me, then prepare the rest for you and your son.
For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, the bowl will not run out of flour or the jar run out of the oil before the day that I, the Lord, send rain." The widow went and did as Elijah told her, and all of them had enough food for many days, as the Lord had promised. Through Elijah, the bowl did not run out of flour, nor did the jar run out of oil.
Sometime later, the widow's son fell ill. He got worse and worse, and finally he died. She said to Elijah, "Man of God, why did you do this to me? Did you come here to remind God of my sins and cause my son's death?" "Give the boy to me," Elijah said. He took the boy from her arms, carried him upstairs to the room where he was staying, and laid him on the bed. Then he prayed aloud, "O Lord, my God, why have you done such a terrible thing to this widow? She has been kind enough to take care of me, and now you kill her son." Then Elijah stretched himself out on the boy three times and prayed, "O Lord, my God, restore this child to life." The Lord answered Elijah's prayer. The child started breathing again and revived. Elijah took the boy downstairs to his mother and said to her, "Look, your son is alive." She answered, "Now I know that you're a man of God and that the Lord really speaks through you."
Well, we don't usually applaud the reading, but I think today that deserves a round of applause. That's loads of work. Thanks so much, boys. And they did all those pictures themselves. They did all the Lego themselves, and Dan worked with them. Is that right, Dan, on a Friday for about 6 weeks? So thank you so much. That was terrific.
Now, as you heard from John a little earlier on, looking at those pictures, revealing them gradually, we're thinking about how sometimes in our lives and the lives of others, God shows things to us gradually. We might not quite get the idea initially. And as part of what we're doing today, you're going to need to talk to the person next to you on a few occasions. So if you don't know who you've got sitting next to you, just turn to them and say, "Hello, my name's whatever your name is," you know, and just get to know who that person is, because you're going to be working with them at different points through this morning. And if you're all on your own, shuffle up a little bit that way. That's a yeah, do that. Okay, good. That's enough of that. Okay, well, last month when we were here, we were looking at Elijah, and we looked at Elijah and the prophets of Baal, and we looked at a mega production, if you like, on a mountain hill, a mountainside, 450 prophets of Baal, epic thing, 20th century Fox, you know, special effects, lightning coming down, setting fire to the altar, a really big production. There would have been a lot of Oscars on offer for it, I think. However, today, with our story of Elijah, it's a complete contrast. It's about one widow and her son. It's in the middle of nowhere. No one else is involved. They're down to their last meal. They're on the brink of starvation. Seemingly some people who were insignificant, just ordinary, everyday folk. And yet in the Bible, equal importance is given to both stories. Should perhaps say that this story comes before the prophets of Baal. I don't know quite why we put it around the other way in the all-age service planning group. We did for some reason. There was a very good reason, I'm sure. But anyway, this comes before that story of the prophets of Baal. So we're going to unpack this story gradually. And I suppose all stories are a bit like that. They unpack gradually, don't they? But it's a story about seeing the whole picture. A bit like Rolf Harris. Who remembers Rolf Harris and his big pictures that he used to do? And he would sort of do all this sort of stuff. And he'd sort of go, I can't do all the sound effects. But, you know, you go, and he would say, what was this phrase that he said? Can you tell me what it is yet? Can't do the Australian accent, but he said, can you tell me what it is? It can you see? And perhaps if I was more artistic as I was doing this talk, I'd have a big thing here and I'd be sort of painting a picture as we go, but I'm not that artistic, so you'll just have to listen. So let's look at this story a little bit more closely. Elijah's message to King Ahab was that for 3.5 years there would be no rain. And prior to this story about the widow, Elijah has been at a brook and he's been fed by ravens. And he's been drinking the water from the brook. But the brook has now dried up. But God's power hasn't dried up. And so Elijah, when he sees that there's no more water to drink, he wonders perhaps how God is going to provide for him. And so in 1 Kings 17 we read this. Then the word of the Lord came to him, that's Elijah, go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food. So Elijah set off for Zarephath, and that's about 100 miles. As he arrived, he saw a woman gathering sticks. Elijah said to the woman, could you bring me some water in a jar that I may have something to drink? The woman turned to go to get him some water. As she was going to get his water, he asked, oh, and bring me, please, a piece of bread. The widow said, as surely as your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks that I may go home and prepare a meal for myself and my son, that we may then eat it and then starve to death. So a question for you now with a person that you've just partnered up with. If put yourself in the widow's shoes. How are you feeling now? She's lost her husband. She's on her own. She's caring for the son that she loves. She has just enough food for one meal. And after that, she and her son are going to starve to death. And then this complete stranger comes along and asks for some bread and asks for some water. Talk to the person next to you. 30 seconds. How might you feel? Okay, let's have some suggestions then. How might we feel about this? Some hands up, maybe? Oh, right at the back here. I'm going to go all over the place. Wow. Whizzing around the back here. How might we feel about this?
Sad and scared.
A bit sad and scared?
Angry.
A bit angry. You think you might be angry because they're taking up your bread maybe, yeah? What else have we got down the front here? We'll have a couple down the front. I remember Ian doing this last time round. It keeps you fit, doesn't it, Ian?
Very angry.
Very angry. You'd be very angry. Not just angry, you'd be very angry.
I'm very worried.
Worried? Yeah, worried. I think you'd be worried. You'd be afraid. You might be angry. There might be all sorts of feelings that you might feel. You might sort of think, well, come on a second, on your bike, mate, to Elijah. You're not having this. It's interesting, actually. I like the way that Elijah asks for some bread after he's asked for the water. He says, can I have some water, please? And the woman turns to go and get the water. And then almost as an afterthought, he says, oh, by the way, I'll have some bread too. I think my reaction would be, what did your last servant die of? You know, but Elijah does that. Maybe he was sort of trying to test out God to see, is this the woman that you've sent to provide the food for me? Anyway, here's what Elijah says in response. He says, don't be afraid. Go home and bake a small cake of bread for me first. Then bake some bread for your son and for yourself. Elijah could speak with boldness to the widow because the Lord said to him, the jar of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jug of oil run dry until the day that the Lord sends rain. notice how, it's not up there, but notice how in the verse at the beginning, the woman says, as surely as the Lord your God lives. So she's not a believer. The widow is not a believer in the one true God that Elijah worships. In fact, we can probably assume that she was a Baal worshipper. She comes from the region of Zarephath, which is actually where Queen Jezebel, Ahab's wife, came from, and perhaps in some ways the cause of Ahab's trouble, or much of his trouble anyway. So this man of God has been sent to her with a message from the Lord God saying that she would have a never-ending supply of flour and oil. This would be a miracle, because no one could ever give a never-ending supply of flour and oil. Baal couldn't do this. Baal, who was supposed to be the rain god, couldn't even provide rain for the country around because it was very dry and there'd been no rain for many, many months. The widow must have wondered whether Elijah or Elijah's God could actually do this. So at the moment, she didn't quite get it. She couldn't quite see what it is yet. She hadn't got the whole picture. But she decides to go along with Elijah. She went back to her house and did exactly what Elijah told her to do. She took a few spoonfuls of flour and placed them in a bowl, poured a little oil into the flour and mixed it together and made a little pat of dough and placed it in a pan and cooked it for Elijah. Next, she took some flour and oil to make bread for her son. And finally, she made bread for herself. What should have been an empty jar of flour and an empty jug of oil was a jar filled with flour and a jug filled with oil. Her ingredients had not run out. Not as she would have expected them to. Wow! A miracle! Amazing! And then we read that Elijah stayed with the widow and her son that night. And the next day, when the widow went to prepare the bread, she still had ingredients left over to make the bread. Each time she prepared the bread, there was always more ingredients there for her. What a miracle. God's power had caused the poor widow to have a never-ending supply of flour and oil. And Elijah was there for a few days, not sure how many, but clearly this went on for some time. God showed his power to Elijah by providing a never-ending supply of oil and flour for the widow. He was allowing this Baal worshipper and her son to see that he was the one true God. So you're going to talk to your partner again. How do you feel now as the widow, maybe, or maybe the son? You've got this never-ending supply of ingredients. You're not going to starve. It's there all the time. How are you feeling now? Talk to the person next to you. Right, I have some helpers this time. John and Amanda have the microphones and there are some hands up at the back there. How do you feel about this? Oh, well, down here we go.
Happy.
You'd be happy. I think I'd be happy, definitely.
Grateful.
Grateful, yeah, certainly.
Very grateful.
Very grateful.
Thankful.
Not just grateful. Thankful. That's a good one. Over here.
Saved. Saved.
Saved, of course, because you were expecting to die, but now you're saved. Yeah, I like it, okay. Down here?
Confused.
Confused, interesting. Okay. Over there?
Joyful.
Joyful. A few more over there?
Amazed.
Amazed.
Shocked.
Shocked.
Surprised.
Surprised. I think we'll leave it at that. Those are all really good responses. Yeah, I think you'd feel those things, that now you've got plenty of food to eat, and possibly the expression on the widow's face in that picture might indicate that. You might also think, well, actually, if God's done that, then perhaps I ought to believe in him. But she doesn't think that, interestingly enough. She may be happy, she may be grateful. The Bible doesn't actually tell us exactly how she feels. I wonder what Elijah's reaction would be. The flour is there. The oil is there. It's obvious, isn't it? This is the one true God. Isn't it obvious? Can't you see what it is yet? But no, she hasn't quite at this point. So what happens next? Well, here's what we read. Sometime later, the widow's son fell ill. It got worse and worse. And finally, he died. She said to Elijah, "Man of God, why did you do this to me? Did you come here to remind God of my sins and so cause my son's death?" There's sort of a desperation in her cry. "You're going to talk to each other again. How do you think you're going to feel now as the widow? Your son's just died. You've got all this flour and oil. Elijah's there. And now your son's just died. How do you feel now? Have a quick talk with the person next to you." Okay, I can see some hands going up. So John and Amanda, if you can be on your feet and whizzing around for us. Thank you. How do you feel now?
Very angry.
Very angry. If you were angry earlier on when Elijah asked you for food, you'd be very angry now. Okay, what have we got down
here?
Sad. Sad, certainly sad. Your only son has died.
Angry.
Angry. We've got some more up the back there as well.
Shocked.
Shocked.
Heartbroken.
Heartbroken, there's a good word.
Devastated.
Heartbroken. Say that again.
Confused.
Confused.
Devastated.
Devastated.
Really, really confused.
Really, really confused. Fantastic.
Very sad.
Very sad. Great, we'll leave it at that. That's brilliant. All those sorts of things I'm sure we would have felt. And Elijah seems pretty cut up too. Here's what Elijah says. He says, "Give me the boy." He took the boy in from her arms, carried him upstairs to the room where he was staying and laid him on the bed. Then he prayed aloud, "Oh Lord my God, why have you done such a terrible thing to this widow? She's been kind enough to take care of me, and now you kill her son." So Elijah's not that impressed either. He sounds quite angry to me. He almost tells God off, doesn't he? You know, I can think of instances of that in my job at school. Maybe you can think of instances at home, maybe. I can think of instances perhaps even with my own children where something has happened and you think, why have you done that? How dare you do that? After all that's been done for you or after all that's happened, you've got no reason. I'm sure we can all relate to that, can't we? So how does it all end? Here's how the Bible story goes on. Then Elijah stretched himself out on the boy three times and prayed, "Oh Lord, my God, restore this child to life." The Lord answered Elijah's prayer. The child started breathing again and revived. Elijah took the boy back downstairs to his mother and said to her, "Look, your son is alive." The boy comes back to life. It's another miracle. It's even better than the oil and the flour in the jars. And the final verse of the story is perhaps the key verse of the story. Verse 24 says this, "The woman said to Elijah, 'Now I know that you are a man of God, and the word of the Lord from your mouth is the truth.'" Can you see what it is yet? Have you got the whole picture? Yes, at last she has. She's got it. So how is that important for us today in our day-to-day lives? For us today, tomorrow, next week? I want to suggest there are four things, perhaps. First of all, God is a God of the ordinary, everyday, and possibly insignificant. A poor widow and her son. A single parent in poverty. Secondly, God is interested in everyone, especially non-believers, especially Baal worshippers. How many of our friends and colleagues are non-believers? They might say to us, "Oh yeah, church and God, that's okay for you." A bit like the widow did initially. She said to Elijah, "The Lord, your God, but not for me." Thirdly, we can play our part. Elijah was there for several days, maybe weeks. And he was there with the word of God. He was just there. He was there for them and helped them at the point of need that they had. And fourthly, we don't always see the full picture straight away. Sometimes we need to be patient with others. Or we need to be patient in difficult situations that we find ourselves. And we just need to allow God to to do his work until the penny drops, until we can see what it is, until we've got the big picture. So there are all sorts of places and situations that we're in. And we're in with all sorts of different people. It might be at home, at school, at work, could be with relatives, could be with friends, could even be here in church. And our job is to do our bit. Our job is to pray and to love and to give in order that we can make a difference, in order that God can make a difference. Elijah did just that. He was in the right place at the right time for somebody who needed it. So we've got to trust God that in his time, he will do his thing. And we can be a partner with God in that, in helping God in the situations that we find ourselves. And it may take a bit of time to see the big picture, but we just have to trust God for that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the story of the widow and her son. Help us to be there for others in their situations, even if it seems sometimes that they may be far away from you. Help us to pray. Help us to love. Help us to serve so that others can see the bigger picture of who you are and what you've done for them. Give us strength. Give us courage. Give us patience. Help us to be the people that you want us to be in your plans and your purposes for those around us. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.